You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. I'm Rachel Donovan, your host for this week, and I'm joined on the line by news editor Amy Ford and news correspondents Anne O'Donoghue and Declan O'Brien. Another jam-packed paper this week, and while the weather remains a main feature, we have news that eventually good weather is on the way. Our national forecaster, Met Éireann, has said that there's no rain forecast next week as some high pressure comes in along, so good news there on that front. But firstly, to kick off proceedings, I'll come to our news editor, Amy Ford, to discuss our front page stories. Amy, finally, we can confirm that there will be no dairy cow exit or reduction scheme for farmers.
Yeah, Rachel, this is something I suppose that's been plodding along in the background, I suppose, if I can say it like that, since November 2022, when the Food Vision Dairy Group basically came out with its recommendations. It was actually set up in January 2022, so we're over 2 years into this process, basically. You know, 10 or 11 months later after it was set up, it came out with basically a blast of recommendations aimed at cutting emissions in the dairy sector. And obviously one of the key points in that report was a voluntary exit or reduction scheme for farmers milking cows. And this essentially would be a suggestion. It was a suggestion for a scheme that would pay farmers to reduce numbers or get out of milk production for an agreed period completely. And I suppose figures around this, there was compensation. It was suggested that at €590 per cow per year for herds that fully exit dairy production, and €970 per cow for herds that reduced cow numbers but remained in production. And the payment for reducing cow numbers was higher because the report said that the overhead or the fixed cost would remain in a herd reduction scenario. And basically, over a 3 year period, the compensation per cow for herd getting out would be €1,770 per cow, or almost €3,000 for a herd reducing cow numbers. So I suppose that's the background. And once that came out, you know, there was a real mixed reaction. And, you know, the report sat in the minister's desk and there was no decision made in it. And now he's actually made that decision. So it's kind of like something that's been there all along in the background. We asked several times, you know, at various opportunities, you know, was a decision made? And the answer was that he's still considering it, and he's considering it no more, and he's completely scrapped it, essentially. So this week he's told us that while he can't, that's the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell, while he can't control the market or the weather, he can give clarity around certain policy directions, including taking the dairy cow reduction scheme off the table. You know, this is, I don't know, is this the way we expected it to go? He's saying that there's budgetary constraints for setting up such a scheme there, as you report this week in the paper. But it'll be really interesting over the coming weeks where things go, because we've seen, you know, in recent weeks, dairy farmers getting out, dairy farmers retiring, selling up herds. I think there's more clearance sales this week. And at the time when it was announced, there was an appetite for certain farmers of a certain age who would have applied for such a scheme if it had been in place to actually reduce their numbers. So I think the next couple of weeks will be very interesting. And of course, this all comes against the backdrop of Ireland's nitrates derogation, which is up for renewal from 2026. And the news this week is that Denmark is not going to apply to extend its derogation once its derogation expires in July. So that will basically leave Ireland from 2026 being the only EU country to be seeking a derogation. The Netherlands is phasing out their derogation by the end of 2025. So there's obviously concerns over, you know, basically the future of milk supply in the country. We've seen that it's down already this year. And I know that our editor, Jack Kennedy, is writing in page two this week about, you know, is the battle for milk about to begin? So it's very interesting that this announcement has come out this week after, you know, 18 months or well over a year anyways of the minister having that on his desk and deciding now not to go ahead with it.
Yeah, very interesting, Amy. And I suppose it's he said that by taking it off the table, it's going to give farmers more clarity and confidence to either be able to invest or think about succession. I suppose that's how he's looking at it. But as you say, there genuinely was appetite out there for the scheme. And it'll be interesting to see, I suppose, what the majority of dairy farmers make of it. But I do think, and this was mentioned by, this was, it's in our page three story with Lakeland Dairy's boss, Colin Kelly. He said that, you know, the the pressure remains on the derogation, and they're looking for a plan, they're looking for a roadmap on how the government are thinking about going about holding on to the derogation.
Yeah, essentially. And look, they met the minister there recently, I think it was last week, on the derogation. It's all dairy farmers want to know about, but there's no, you know, no one can provide any clarity on that, because essentially it's a European Commission decision, and Ireland basically has to put forward a case now over the coming months and into next year for retaining that derogation. And it all boils down to essentially water quality and where our standards are there. Co-op CEOs, look, they want to see the plan. Colin Kelly wants to see the plan or the roadmap that government has that will be putting forward essentially to retain that derogation into the coming years, essentially. So it'll be very interesting to see over the coming weeks. You know, Colin made the point that farmers are making breeding decisions now for the next 2 to 3 years, and they need clarity on what's going to happen, and they do, in fairness. And I suppose you could have said the exact same comment about the dairy exit scheme when it was, I suppose, recommended originally, you know, that farmers might have been thinking that, well, a dairy exit scheme is coming, and the soundings were that there might have been one, and they may be held off on certain breeding decisions, or they were waiting for it, so they held off on doing anything. So, you know, I think what farmers need is clarity. All they want is clarity, and finally that is here on the dairy exit scheme. Is it later than they would have liked? Of course it is. It's, you know, so long after that recommendation came out, but it's there now on that front. But the next decision that is going to impact their breeding decisions is obviously the derogation, and focus will firmly turn on to that now rather than potentially any dairy reduction scheme.
Yeah, and I suppose short-term good news, Amy, and there seems to be some more clarity around this, and that's milk price. What is Lakeland Dairy CEO Colin Kelly saying about, I suppose, where he sees milk price going for the summer?
Yeah, so our dairy editor Aidan Brennan sat down with the CEO of Lakeland this week, and their annual results are out, and, you know, he comes across saying that he's optimistic on milk price and that they could increase further in the second half of the year. Kelly said that the combination of lower global supply and then the expected reduction in interest rates points to higher prices later this year. He said that they don't see any major change barring some geopolitical event happening, but at this stage the market has already factored these shocks in. He said that the current milk price is ahead of where the market is at currently, but that co-ops want to pay out as much as possible to support farmers through this low margin period. And he said he expects milk price to remain in the low to mid 40s in terms of cent per litre for the coming months.
Yeah, welcome news for many dairy farmers, as I suppose the feed bills go through the roof at the minute, and they're busting at the seams, I suppose, to get out to grass. But Amy, back to our page one, just for quickly to cover off silage. I think it's gas to think that we're talking about silage already, given that farmers haven't even got out for that first grazing yet. But tell us about cost, Amy. Is it up, down or sideways on 2023?
Yeah, so the machinery team in this week's journal, they have a 20-page bale silage special in the paper this week. Everything you could possibly want to know about making silage this year. And Gary Abbott this week then reports that the cost of making a bale of silage this year is in and around the €32.50 per bale mark. Look, this is an average price. It'll vary depending on whether you're renting or leasing land, and it'll obviously, there's regional variation, so it might be more expensive in one part of the country. So it's down slightly on 2023. It's down by about €2.50 a bale, and that's as nitrogen, energy and RAP prices have fallen this year. But it'll still cost in the region of between €29 and €32.50 to make a bale, including VAT. And this year for farmers, contractor costs have crept up slightly, but not by a lot. And then our analysis is basically based on spreading 80 units of artificial nitrogen per acre, bought in at €510 per tonne, and then putting out slurry at 2,500 gallons an acre. And look, it's assuming an average first cut yield of 9 bales per acre. And then those fertiliser and slurry costs, they come in at €10.20 a bale. And we've put the cost of mowing, raking, baling, wrapping and stacking at around €18 a bale. But as we said, regional variations will apply in there, and whether you're renting land, it might be more expensive, it might be cheaper than that. But that's kind of where we are this week in terms of an average price.
Perfect, Amy. Thanks for that update and some good news there, I suppose. But we leave it there, Amy. Thanks for that. Anne O'Donoghue, I'm going to come to you now, and you have some news on both acres and derogation applications. So firstly there, I suppose, any farmers looking to submit a nitrates derogation application and confirm their 2024 excretion rates, they have a bit more time on their hands to do that. Is that right?
Yes, Rachel. Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell, look, he announced this week that he was extending both of those deadlines that you just mentioned. So the new dates farmers need to know if you're applying for putting in your nitrate derogation application, that needs to now be in by Friday, the 26th of April. The old date was the date this podcast is coming out, the 19th of April. So that gives farmers a bit more time. He said, but the weather, farmers have a lot more on, just giving them that bit of leeway room on for dairy farmers to confirm their excretion rate band. That's been moved out to Wednesday, the 15th of May. And the minister again just highlighted that it might give farmers a bit of time when they're sitting down with their advisors to discuss their BIS applications. They might be able to tie all that in. So that's a bit of extra wiggle room for farmers that's probably well needed at the moment, Rachel. And then, as you said, you mentioned acres. Yes, tranche two approval letters have started issuing. They began issuing last Friday. Now, when we say letters issuing, that's kind of more of an older phrase. At the moment, you can see if you have an approval or not on your ag food portal. There will be physical letters, but they'll probably be hitting in the post box in the next couple of days. So just for any farmers who have applied to the second tranche of acres that might be listening, last Friday, it was just those who had applied to cooperation that got approval. So there was, I think, over 2,300 farmers that applied to cooperation in that second tranche. And general hasn't started issuing yet, but it should be any day now, is what we're told. So just a quick couple of dates and updates for farmers there, Rachel.
Brilliant, Anne. Thanks a million. And on page 12, Anne, you have news on, I suppose, quality assurance certification from Borbia, and no major wiggle room there, we've learned.
Yes, Rachel. It was asked in a Dáil committee recently. Chair of Borbia, Larry Murren, was in front of the committee. He was just an introductory type thing as he's new into his brief. And Senator Tim Lombard asked, would Borbia be willing just to blanket extend the quality assurance period by a month, just to give all farmers that little bit of room? Now, it's important to note here that Borbia has come out even last week and said farmers who are struggling with whether they're finding things difficult, they can apply to have their audits pushed out, postponed, but they are not going for that blanket extension certification. And then they confirmed that to the Farmers Journal thereafter as well.
Excellent. Thanks for that. And Declan O'Brien, I'm going to come to you now. And Declan, you have on page 8 that dry stock farmers are being warned of nitrates penalties. Tell us a bit more on that.
And what they're saying, what we were talking to James Fitzgerald there in Castlereagh, and what he was saying was, lads, you're sleepwalking into trouble here. Because he's saying that particularly in areas for dry stock farmers, in areas where there are high phosphate levels in the soil, he's saying you have to look at what you're spreading each year, the amount of feed you're bringing in. And he said that he's expecting that any farmers that are on 100 kilos of organic nitrogen to 130 kilos of organic nitrogen to the hectare should actually be soil sampling to see their exact phosphates levels and then to apply the fertilizer accordingly. So he's saying that instead of doing that, farmers are going out. They're doing what they always did. They're buying 18-6-12. They're buying 10-10-20. He said, when actually they should be buying zero phosphate fertilizer. And he said, what is going to happen is they're going to fall foul of nitrates regulations. If they're inspected, they're going to attract penalties. And he said, if they're in acres, they're going to be outside, they're going to be the potentially they could get 100% penalty on all area-based schemes because they won't be viewed as environmentally friendly if they're not in compliance with the nitrates regulation.
Yeah, and I suppose it's farmers, their deck between the 100 kilos per nitrogen of nitrogen per hectare and 130 kilos of nitrogen per hectare who they're saying are in the danger zone, and I suppose they feel that they're not stocked high enough to be in the firing zone for any of these penalties, but I suppose they just need to be that bit more aware.
And he's essentially what he's saying is they're sleepwalking into it, because he said they're the more progressive dry stock farmers. He says the extensive dry stock farmers are going to get away, no bother, because they're not going to be at the organic nitrates levels, aren't going to be high enough. But he said, if you're intensive dry stock, pretty intensive dry stock farmer is the fellow that's going to fall into this trap. And he said that it's got to be got out there and put in front of farmers to check this out. Because he said, he's talking of that if you lose out in the area-based schemes for acres, he said, you could be losing 5,000 euro. So he said, the penalties here are massive and farmers need to be cognizant of it and need to take action now so that they won't be caught.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose just that bit more awareness is needed, Dec, I suppose, and that action. But on page 18, I will move on to now, I see you write about Mayo's Murrisk Greenway. What is the story here? What are they saying about this, Dec?
Well, the there's a battle going on between landowners and the county council and TII, Transport Infrastructure Ireland. And it's the perennial battle around greenways. The landowners are saying, this is not the best route. And the county council is saying, it is. Now, there's an existing cycle path going from, anybody who knows that area, going from Westport out to Murrisk. It's going pretty well most of the way. And what farmers are saying is, why not barrier off that cycle path and keep it? In what the county council are suggesting is going up along the low slopes of Kirkpatrick. Now there's 43 private holdings are going to be impacted and 26 common journals are going to be impacted. Now they're saying that they got no consultation on the route being chosen. They're saying that the greenway is going to run through fields rather than on the boundaries as has been agreed by the code of practice. And they're saying this is unnecessary disruption. It's going to do long-term damage to the viability of small hill farms, which are, you know, which are kind of the holdings of part-time farmers in the area. Now, the county council is saying, look, we have consulted, we have written to the landowners impacted. The landowners say they haven't. They say the consultation, they're describing the consultation process as a farce. And they're saying what they want is that the route is taken back down onto the road. They're also saying that if it isn't, they'll take their protests and their actions to the courts, and they'll go the whole way to the High Court or the Supreme Court with this. So there is no common ground here, and it looks like it's going to be a battle the whole way to the four gold mines, as they call them, you know.
An interesting one to keep in the loop on, Dec, and keep following, I suppose, see what happens. But thanks for that, Dec, and we'll leave that there. Now, finally, this week, I spoke to farmers at the Irish Farmers Journal Renewables Roadshow, which took place in Kilkenny on Tuesday. We're in Cavan next Tuesday, but I got a flavour of what farmers came to hear and what they're considering when it comes to renewables. I spoke to John Malloy from Ballingarry in South Tipperary, and I spoke to Seamus Duggan from Durrow in County Leash. What did you come to learn about? Are you interested in solar, AD? What was it about?
Yeah, so just young farmer, beef farmer, just interested in solar and how to basically make money, reduce ESB bill, basically, okay. Yeah.
And put solar panels on your sheds or...?
Yeah, on the shed or on the ground, and see, okay. Do I need plant permission for that, basically, yeah.
Okay, where are you farming?
Ballingarry, South Tipperary.
Tillage and beef. And,
beef.
To be quite honest, yeah, I thought the meeting was very good. I thought the anaerobic digestion part of it, no. I think it was solid waste of time for 99% of the farmers here, because none of us could afford it. We can't even think about looking at. I think the solar and the biomass was about the only aspects that was really of relevance to an Irish farmer.
Okay, and what about from the perspective of supplying these AD plants? You know, your slurry, you're obviously,
I think the farmer,
are you full up with slurry at the minute?
No, I need every bit of slurry I have, because I'm putting it back into crops and putting it back into what I'm doing myself. But like the farmer out there tonight summarised it very easy. He said, sure, we're getting 40 euro a bale for silage. Why would we even, you know, consider going to an AD plant? You know, like, if that's going to be the basis of a contract, it's a weak contract, like, you know. So no, I don't think there's a, I can't see enough law viability, Shane, to be quite honest.
Also this week, I spoke to on Taoiseach Simon Harris on his opinion around the dairy exit scheme and also the nitrates derogation. He was speaking at an EPP conference in Carlow on Friday.
Taoiseach, in terms of farming, do you agree with Minister for Agriculture, Tiernan McConnellogue's decision to take, I suppose, the proposal of a dairy cow reduction or exit scheme off the table? And if so, if you agree, why? And secondly, do you agree with or do you believe in retaining a nitrates derogation for Ireland?
So yes and yes, I believe in maintaining a nitrates derogation for Ireland, and I look forward to working closely with my MEP colleagues and with the Commission to make sure that is the case. I believe it's important for our industry here in this country, and I want to work with farmers in relation to maintaining that. I do support Minister McConnellogue's decision because I think we have to do better when it comes to the debate around climate that's suggesting the answer to it is to reduce agricultural output. I don't buy into that. I'll come over there. One second. I don't buy into that. I don't buy into that theory that it's that you either have to be on the side of climate or on the side of farmers. It's actually possible in government, and in fact, your obligation to do more than one thing at a time. And what we need to do in Europe and in Ireland is protect food security, and what we need to do is also protect the planet. And I think what Minister McConnellogue has clearly indicated yesterday is that the agricultural sector is making real progress when it comes to its emission targets. It's making more progress than other sectors, by the way, despite the fact that people keep on finger wagging at farmers. It's making much more progress than some sectors. And now we need to continue to work with farmers, work with the dairy sector to support them. And what I'd like to see, and I intend to work on during my tenure, is income streams to help farmers transition.
So folks, that's it for this week's podcast. Thanks to our news editor Amy Ford and news correspondents Anna Donoghue and Declan O'Brien for joining me. And as always, it would be impossible to squeeze in all our stories into this short podcast, but we've loads more stories in the paper this week. We have a full page on answers to farmers' questions on the new fodder transport subsidy. And we also have on page 14 a map on, I suppose, TB rates, and we see that 1/5 of West Wicklow herds are locked up with TB. So loads of more interesting stories and interviews in this week's paper, folks. Thanks a million for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.